Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Tonight's show is a special pre-recorded broadcast that I'm doing with Mark Passio. You can check his site. It's whatonearthishappening.com. And Mark's got his own show over on Oracle. And once a week is not enough time, for, you know, at least in my eyes, for him to get his message out. So I try to have him on my show as much as he can fit in his personal schedule. And tonight's show has to be pre-recorded because of time constraints due on my end, not his. So I without further ado and wasting anybody else's time, I want to get into it because the information that we're going to be presenting to you tonight is very, very important. Mark, welcome to the show.
Popeye, thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. Well, I'd like to caveat all of this by saying that my involvement in the satanic hierarchy was extraordinarily low. I was not what you would call a ranking member by any stretch of the imagination. I was simply one of these minions who participated in different rituals, and these rituals really form sort of an initiatic type of filtration system. What they're looking for is people who are truly psychopathic or have extreme psychopathic/sociopathic tendencies. Okay? They are looking for those people to groom them up for the higher ranks in this hierarchical system, this network of control freaks. So that having been said, the level of participation that I was that I reached in the dark occult was not very high, and I did not participate in any rituals that involved any sorts of crimes. Mainly, the type of ritual that I have participated in my past during my involvement with the Church of Satan was psychodramatic rituals that are done usually around the four main Sabbats of the year, which I'll get into in a moment. But they are basically energy direction rituals. Okay, in the dark occult, they know that energy and vibration plays a role in everything that we do. And they also understand the power of numbers, of getting people to think along the same lines, in large numbers. So what these rituals that I was able to participate in are about are energy, focus, and release. And there's three major kinds of rituals that are done in the form of Satanism that I was involved in. And these are destruction rituals, they're known as. One of them is known as a compassion ritual, believe it or not. And then there are sexual rituals. So the two main kinds of rituals that I really basically witnessed, and in no way was I, again, a director of any of these or somebody who was conducting them. I was just a participant. It's mainly, again, to focus people's minds in the same direction for the same purpose. And that's something that I've often talked about on my show. The dark controllers, if you will, the people who really are controlling the shots in our world, are largely on the same page. This is why they're able to be so successful. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. They want to think that, you know, we're turning the tables and, you know, getting ready to defeat them. But we're very scattered, humanity, as a species. And we don't have the same goals in mind. We have wildly different, varied goals, and people are not on the same page and don't really think with a directed focus as the dark occultists of this world do. So that's what they come together to do, to set everything else in life aside and then think for the exact same purpose. And it's very specific. So it may be this individual is having a extreme block with some aspect in their life. And if that block is removed, then something big is going to open up in a larger sense for the group. So this obstacle needs to be removed. So that would be an example of actually a compassion ritual. And they will actually focus their intent for that purpose, to actually attempt to make it happen. And then it's not, you know, just if the people who are there are working together in real life and they're not just, you know, assembling, gathering, and then going to their respective, daily lives and routines. Some people do work in close conjunction with each other in the real world, aside from, you know, the times when they come together to participate in rituals. They'll attempt to make this happen through physical means or financial means or other means. It's not just an energy focused, but that's a big part of one of the rituals to focus energy. Another one might be purely to direct negative energy at someone. So this is a destruction ritual. I participated in one of these, and in a smaller group, or what they call grottos. The groups are not called covens in Satanism. They're usually called grottos. And in one of the grottos that I participated in, the destruction ritual was done for someone that I actually had in mind. And I won't go into details about what happened, but the individual did suffer a really negative circumstances in what I would consider short order of time after that ritual was actually conducted. Now, you could say that's a coincidence, or you could say that, you know, that ritual didn't actually make the events of this person's life unfold in a negative way, but, you know, this person basically lost their job. They became, you know, addicted to hard drugs, you know, whereas those situations weren't present before that energy was focused and, quote, thrown. So part of the mystique involved in Satanism of all different varieties is that you don't question the usage of what they call dark magic or black magic, because if it serves the purpose, if you witness the result after the energy is amassed and then directed, you consider that was why that occurred. To not basically give credence to that. And this is in their system of beliefs. What they say is then you are denying the power of the self to actually direct that. And in doing so, that confidence loss will never allow that really to happen for you again. So it'll say like that form of magic will like kind of backfire against you, or not, at least not backfire, but fizzle out and not work for you anymore. So their whole idea is to maintain a suspended disbelief, I guess you could say, and say, this is why it happened. It didn't happen for any other reason. It happened because we made it happen. And some people, again, they will be very dismissive of that. But I would say that this is how the law of attraction works at a certain level. If you can get enough people thinking the same thing, you can change events in the physical reality in which we live.
Look, if you're going to get into the realm of conspiracy, you have to touch on this research. I don't think that religious dogma should block people, although I know it does. A lot of good researchers allow their religious dogma to block them from looking into this, and they just denounce this stuff as misdirection or crap and everything else. But you have to understand the things that your enemy is really up to if you have any hope of trying to defeat them and turn things around.
You have to get into their mindset to the extent that you actually become a reference guide for that entire psychology. I love the way Michael Tessarion actually words it. He says, each one of us needs to become a walking encyclopedia of evil, meaning to understand how all of their methodologies and how their psyche functions. You have to know the mindset of your opponent when you sit down and play a chess game. And that's really what we're involved in, a war of strategy and a war for the minds of people. And if we don't understand the mindset, the psychology of our opponent, we're doomed from the very outset. So a lot of people are blocked in the sense that they'll make the statement that they don't believe in any of this stuff, therefore it doesn't affect them. And this is complete nonsense when you really think about this, because if you would sit down and try to make the statement, well, I don't believe in radical Christianity. I don't believe in radical right-wing Christianity. I don't believe in radical Islamic fundamentalism. So none of that can ever affect me. And of course this isn't true, because people who do believe in those things are willing to act upon their beliefs in the world. And therefore you absolutely can be affected by those ideologies. So this is just like any other religion, any other extremist form of religion, except this one happens to really be the one that lies behind the powers that shouldn't be in our world. Okay? They are Satanists and dark Luciferians at the highest levels. And, you know, I don't know if we have time to get into what that ideology really entails. I mean, we can go into their year and the breakdown of these different points in the year and where they conduct their rituals, you know, the times of the year that they conduct their rituals.
Yeah, I'd like to get into that, and we have plenty of time. Go ahead, Mark, get right into it.
I think the first thing I'd like to touch on is the basic ideology of Satanism, because most people, when you say Satanism, they have a completely erroneous view of what this religion actually is all about. They immediately think of, like voodoo-ish type rituals, and they immediately think of, you know, the devil with a, you know, horn and tails, and, you know, all of the things that the Christian view of Satanism puts into people's minds. Now, I'm not going to tell you that extremely devastating, murderous rituals don't take place where people are killed, because they do, and tortured. That was not my level of involvement, because I developed a conscience after witnessing the kind of people that were involved in the lower level rituals that I attended at the beginning of, you know, my involvement with some of these grottos. So I pulled back from it before going into deeper levels. So my level of involvement, again, didn't involve any committing of crimes or hurting other people or torturing people. It was largely ideological and religiously based. So the ideology of Satanism is ultimately what runs this world. And what I mean by that is it's not so much of a religious belief system as it is a way of living. It's a way of interacting with other people. And it's a mindset. It's a way of, it's a worldview. It's a way of viewing yourself and others in the world and then acting accordingly. That's really what Satanism is. So what the main tenets of it are is the self is the most important thing in the universe. That's the God in Satanism. The ego is worshipped, okay, is put on a pedestal above everything else. And I mean in a very selfish and worldly way. Okay, so whatever's good for you is what is good. Whatever's bad for you is what is bad. It's moral relativism. Okay, there is no objective right or wrong in Satanism and dark Luciferianism. If the self benefits, that's what is good. If the self is harmed, that's what is bad. If doing something that harms others and benefits the self, okay, take an example where someone else is harmed, you know, but you profit. That's good in Satanism. Okay? If great amounts of good can be done, but maybe you don't end up, you know, the winner or the one who profits, that's considered not good. That's considered bad. So, in other words, it's always from the point of view of the self profiting and gaining over others. And everyone in the religion has this mindset. So it's like a dog-eat-dog mindset. It's social Darwinism. Literal survival of the most ruthless in society. So that, and that's what this is based on. It's based upon social Darwinistic ideas. And I don't call this ever a philosophy. I think the listeners should have a distinct understanding between the concept of a philosophy and an ideology. Philosophy means the love of wisdom. And true philosophies are ways of being in the world and thinking about things that can really ultimately do no harm to others because they're based in wisdom and truth. An ideology is just a way of thinking. Okay, so an ideology can be based upon philosophy, and it could be in keeping with wisdom, or it could be completely erroneous. It could be based upon false and flawed fundamental axioms. Okay, and in doing so, following that ideology can create enormous harm for not only the self, but other people as well. So there's a big distinction between an ideology and a philosophy, and Satanism is an ideology as much as it is a religion. More so, I would say. It's all about an ideology. And that ideology is fundamental separation, that there is no togetherness, there is no fundamental oneness. Everybody is atomized and separate, and they're all on their own competing for limited resources, and it's dog-eat-dog, and it's you have to be as cutthroat and as ruthless as possible to get to the top of the pack and stay there, and then be even more ruthless to stay there. And if we look at the world, this is exactly what they have indoctrinated and conditioning the people of the world to be like. I would go so far as to say a lot of so-called Christians, what I call Chinos, C-H-I-N-O-S, Christians in name only, C-H-I-N-O, okay, Christian in name only. These people actually live a satanic ideology more so than a true Christian philosophy. Most of the world is living in a satanic ideology, whether they're Christians, Jews, Muslims, atheists, doesn't make a difference, because this is a worldview.
Would you say that the Bushes could be considered that, how they portray themselves to be very Christian, but you know that behind the scenes they're actually much, much eviler than that?
I would say they absolutely are Satanists. And when the idea that people think that George Bush Jr. specifically was a Christian, this idea was actually garnered by the masses during an interview that he did during his presidential campaign, where he was asked if he was a religious man and asked if he was born again. Or he was actually asked if he was a Christian, asked if he was religious. And what he responded to the news interviewer, he said, "If you're asking me if I am born again, then the answer is yes." And he didn't mean born into the light of Christ, or he didn't mean, you know, as a born-again Christian. He meant he was born again because of the initiations that he had undergone in the dark occult networks that he participated and was brought through and groomed through to reach his position of power. And I'm referring, of course, to the Order of Skull and Bones. That's what he meant. He was born again into their initiatic, through their initiatic system. The Skull and Bones is a clandestine, dark Masonic order that operates out of Yale University, and they have rituals of symbolic rebirth, of dark masonry. So that's what Bush was referring to. He wasn't referring to being born again into the mindset of Christ consciousness. He was referring to being born again in his dark order of death, as they call it, the Skull and Bones.
And this is really important, I think, to focus on at least a certain amount of time of your research, because it's what is going on. It's what creates these monsters. People are like, I don't understand how they do this. Well, understanding their philosophy on things and who they really worship and all this other stuff is essential to understanding why they would do these things. At least that's how I look at it. What do you think about that, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to understand their worldview above all else. And again, their worldview is based in separation, in lack-based consciousness, and it's based in social Darwinism. So moral relativity plays a gigantic role in their belief system, and they have done a great job in propagating that belief system to the masses of people. Most people in the world don't accept that there is objective right and wrong. There's this concept that they have of situational ethics, that certain things are, you know, right for me in this situation and wrong in another situation. There is objective morality. You need to understand what right is versus what wrong is, because that's what our rights are based upon, whether something is right to do because it does not cause harm to another living being. And if it does, it's wrong to do it. So morality is black and white. It's not shades of gray, as people would have you believe. It's not relative. And I know that's going to be a hard swallow for most people out there, because they're under this form of mind control through repetition that's been perpetuated and propagated their entire lives. When you keep repeating something over and over and over and over again to somebody, eventually they believe it. It's one of the greatest methods of mind control. And what they've done that most effectively with is the idea of moral relativism, because that's their number two tenet, I would say. Their number one tenet is self-preservation is the highest law, because the self is the God, because the ego is the God. That's what they're clinging onto above all else, is the ego mind. Okay? So their number one tenet is the self comes before everything else. Self-preservation is the highest law, no matter what I have to do to another person, no matter who I have to step on, no matter who I have to harm. The second tenet is there is no right or wrong. That's all relative. What's right for me is what's right. What's wrong for me is what's wrong. And just think about carrying those two basic tenets out into the world, propagating them as widely as you can, what kind of a world you'll have. And I would suggest that that's not a future scenario. That is what has already been done for probably thousands of years. And the world that we have today, the society that we have today, is based upon this religion. This is why they call it the old religion. It's not called the old religion for nothing. Okay, it's just they want to maintain this worldview and bring it into a new form of control, which they refer to as the New World Order. But it's just propagating the same ideology into a different form in the modern world. It's all there to get people to stay rooted in the ego mind and never, never recognize any level of oneness. Most of all, oneness within the self, to unify one's own thoughts, emotions, and actions. They want everybody atomized and separated, but above all else, separated within, so that their actions are always in betrayal of their emotions and thoughts. And I'd say that they're extraordinarily successful. They're doing a phenomenal job of it, because I don't personally really see a mass awakening happening. I don't see people coming on the same page, even with these protests, my words can be construed as harsh on this, but I don't see the people there having anywhere near the fundamental level of knowledge that is going to be required to defeat the controllers of this world, to bring them down out of their ivory towers and actually have them relinquish the reins of power, because they don't have enough knowledge of the mindset that's really driving this. They don't have enough knowledge of the occult. Some of them don't even think that the occult exists, that it's not real because they don't believe in it, which is, again, it's a naive child's way of looking at this. Instead of attempting to discern for yourself whether this is real and whether this is actually going on, and there's abundant evidence to do that, people want to just make up their mind based on an opinion or a like or a dislike, and moreover, they want to make it up based on denial, because they would rather call someone a conspiracy theorist rather than entertain the notion that this is simply extremely uncomfortable truth. And they don't want to look into it for that reason, because it makes them afraid. They're afraid of what they might find out at the bottom of that rabbit hole. So they decide, I'm never going to go down there. So that's the main thing, is we need to understand their mindset. Okay, we need to understand that mindset most of all, because that's the mindset they have given the people of the world. The people of the world have their mindset, and that's what needs to change. The reason we need to understand their mindset is so we can get out of it. Most people are living in a satanic worldview and don't even know it. They don't even know it, because they grew up that way. That's how their parents taught them, and that's how they're going to teach their children. And that's the definition of actually not being raised in consciousness. It's not actually developing a true conscience, because developing a true conscience and leaving the animalistic instincts and the base animalistic ways of behavior behind and moving upward in consciousness to become truly human, what that entails is the development of a conscience. And we can't ever really truly develop a conscience unless we understand this dark and separatist worldview enough to climb out of it, to actually raise ourselves up and out of that black-hearted, low-minded worldview that really has everybody in its thrall. And they propagate that worldview every single day in their media, on television, in their newspapers and magazines. This is all you'll really see, is we need to do what's in our best interest and everyone else be damned. And that's what's going to happen. You know, that's their mindset, and that's how they want everybody thinking. They want everybody saying, I need to only worry about me. I need to only worry about my situation. This is what the mindset cops are in. Police and military are totally in this mindset. I'm a military guy. I'm going to go and join the military, and I'd be willing to drop bombs on people just because, oh, I'll get a free education, and I'll get a paycheck, and I'll get a pension. You know, I go into the police force because I, you know, want to have a job that's secure and have a pension and a good paycheck. And I don't care whether I'll be asked to abuse rights. I'm not there to question that. I'm not there to ask people whether there's actual right behind that action. You know, if I'm not there to think, I'm there to unquestioningly follow orders and just go and do what I'm told as long as I get that paycheck, because all I'm worried about is me. See, that's the mindset. And people want to deny that and say that isn't the mindset of most of these people. It absolutely is the mindset of these individuals. That's their mindset. You could bring up a million examples of how their actions are actually in violation of other people's rights. And they'll say, yeah, but this is my situation. I got a family to feed, etc., etc., etc. Endless amounts of justifications. And I'm telling you right now, the people who are in ownership, not just direction of that too, but they're in ownership of these institutions. Okay, they own and direct these institutions. At the highest levels, they are Satanists. And I'm telling you from firsthand experience, because the people, that's another thing you have to know about these rituals that are done, and when they are taking people to groom into the hierarchy, the satanic hierarchy networks, okay, which after you would be groomed out of one of these lower level networks that interfaces with the public, you would go up into other think tank groups, or you would go up into other affiliate orders. Okay, so the Skull and Bones Order is much higher on this, but again, that's mostly a bloodline connected thing, and you know, the elite are mostly running something like that. That's much higher up in the hierarchy, as is something like the Club of Rome, or something like the Bilderberg Group, which, you know, in something like that, you're not going to work your way up into that. That's something like you're either born into, or you have extreme power through and connection through some other mechanism of finance or media, and therefore you're welcomed into an outer circle within a group like that. But there's always an inner circle that's bloodline, okay? You don't work your way into that. You're born into it. So this grooming process, again, is attempting to identify the psychopathic individuals. And I had extreme psychopathic tendencies. I was never like an actual psychopath. But my worldview made me have tendencies that actually were quite psychopathic. And this is what I would say you can see in the police and the military of the modern world. They are basically indoctrinated, and then through their rituals, which mimic trauma-based mind control rituals, they are actually being turned into psychopathic individuals. Again, I'm not going to use the word actual psychopaths, because there's a difference between a life psychopath or a psychopath that is born a psychopath. And there is such a thing as people who are simply born without the ability to experience emotion. What I'm referring to is a created psychopath, okay? So I'll distinguish that by saying that they are psychopathic, that this is a condition that their brain and therefore their psyche is existing in, and they have been conditioned to be that way through segregation from society, repetition, breaking someone down physically, feeding them only certain types of foods, exposing them to only certain types of ideas and media, etc. These are the classical techniques of any cult. And what I've just described in those few methods are the methodologies through which the police and military indoctrinate their initiates, because it is a system of initiation into a cult. It's no different than initiation into the dark occult schools. Okay, it's the same thing. You set the society up as separate than everybody else. Well, you're not these people. You're a separate group. We're over here, and everybody else is over there. Okay, they don't do this amongst the public. In training for the military, you go to boot camp and you stay there, and you're completely segregated. So segregation is a big part of this. And again, then it's repetition. Okay, it's ritual. Okay, ritual, always doing the same thing over and over and over again on a repeating schedule. The greatest form of mind control is endless repetition. And ritual, okay, because these are things all associated with the base brain, the reptile complex of the brain, the reptilian mind. So when you can keep somebody down in that reptilian mind through repetition, through fear, that's another thing that's used. It's trauma. That's what it really is. You're breaking down the personality of the individual because you want them to be completely identified with groupthink. It's the same thing in a cult, in any cult. It's the same thing in basically any religion. You're saying, this is who you are. You're not like any of the other people. This is your set of beliefs. This is how we do things. It's a repeated thing over and over and over again. The same words, the same movements, the same gestures. Okay? And fear is a big part of it in, like let's take military boot camp for an example. You don't know when something might happen. The drill instructor might come in and put you through, all kinds of different rigorous, strenuous physical tests. And that might happen at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
when
you're
out of a dead sleep.
When you're a bat, well, at least when I went to boot camp when I was in the Coast Guard, it was called the Performance Enhancement Platoon. And what they did to all the new recruits, the new companies that would come in, like the big, the first week is indoctrination week anyway. You're getting shots and everything else.
Right.
So usually during that, interesting how they call it indoctrination week.
Wow.
When you look back on it and you know about mind control, you're like, wow, dude, the levels of mind control boot camp. Like, we could do a show about that by itself. But anyway, they bring in this group, and these are the screw-ups. And they put them in this special little platoon, and they call it PEP, the Performance Enhancement Platoon. They make them walk around with red belts on, and with their right arm at a 90-degree angle to the deck, which would be the ground. So you could only imagine that kind of looks like little Nazis walking around, right? And everywhere they go, every time they make a step, they have to say the word PEP. Now, they do this to embarrass them, they say. But once you understand mind control, you realize what they're doing. And what they did to the new groups is every week, the first week, they would bring these guys in at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and they would go into the head of each of the barracks rooms. And usually each squad room would hold, like, we had, I think, like 60 guys in our squad room, three, bunks, three levels high. And there was like 60 or 80 of us in there, something like that. And they brought them in at like 4 o'clock in the morning and beat the crap out of these guys. Now, the head is what, you know, in naval terms or in the Coast Guard or Marine Corps, you call a a bathroom. And they would bring them. The bathrooms were big enough that there was multiple sinks. You could shave in them, and there was, you know, a group shower. And they take away your dignity, too. The first night you're there, before you even do anything, as soon as you get off the bus, within 15 minutes, they make you strip down naked and climb into a shower with a bunch of other guys. And they make the females do the same thing. You get to strip in front of each other and then get dressed. They give you, like sweatpants and stuff to... A pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt to wear, pretty much, for the first day, and then you go pick up your gear and stuff. But that's all breaking people down. Anyway,
it's about conforming them to one way of being that is completely, it has stripped them of any uniqueness, any part of the original.
Oh, they totally rip your individuality out. They even tell you at the end of boot camp, the last, like, 2 days, you sit down with the drill instructors. At least when I was there, that's what they did with us. And these guys that were total dickheads to us for 8 weeks were suddenly treating us as we were, like, part of the group because we had gone through this quote-unquote initiation of 8 weeks of hell, you know, and training. And they tell you right off the bat, like, somebody asked them, you know, why you guys are so nice, you seem to be so nice, like, as normal human beings, why are you such dickheads to us? And they laughed, and they were like, that's our job, that's what we're trained to do. And they explained that they go to drill instructor boot camp and all this other stuff. And they told us, like, part of drill instructor boot camp is they make them stand and yell at a tree for, like, 8 hours, Mark, so that they can learn how to be completely degrading and insulting, and they do it because they say the tree won't cry and run away.
Well, people may think, what does comparing the military and police's indoctrination methods have to do with Satanism, okay? And I would say it has everything to do with it. Because, again, you have to understand the main fundamental ideological tenets of this religion to really deeply grasp how this religion is really what's in control. This is the fundamental ancient religion that is still in operation today and is still ultimately controlling things behind the scenes. Again, when I was in this, I guess you could call it cult, that's what it was, they referred to the people who actually we think of as the controller class, the military and police, they would refer to them as their dogs. Because they know that at the highest levels of the hierarchy, their people are in control of these groups and run them. I mean, all you really need to do is look at the fact that Michael Aquino, okay, was in charge of the Army Psychological Warfare Unit for years. And this guy was simultaneously the head of one of the largest West Coast, or the largest West Coast, one of the largest in the world, I should say, dark occult orders, the Temple of Set. I mean, just look this guy's name up. He was brought up on charges for child abuse and pedophilia. You know, you could...
he was named in the Franklin cover-up. There were witnesses that named him as an abuser. Sure. And if you look up Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, she even says in her book, The Transformation of America, and for the listeners that aren't sure, Kathy O'Brien is a mind control survivor, and she's come forward with what she knows. There's also a lady named Bryce, but I can't remember her last name. I think it's
Bryce Taylor.
That's what it is, Taylor. She, another one. She's her book is amazing, too. And Aquino's name is mentioned multiple times, and Kathy names him specifically as an abuser of his of her daughter and herself, and she says that, you know, she talks about the Church of Set and everything else and how he is just 110% into mind control. He knows how to, you know, mind control people. He's involved with creating these presidential models. So it's all linked together. So you have to understand that this is what they do. Mind control goes all the way back to Babylon. A lot of people are mistaken, and they think that it was some stuff that the Chinese invented, and we picked up from, you know, Korea and then brought back here. No.
These are well-known techniques that are ancient, and Aquino is himself an expert in electronic forms of trauma-based mind control, where someone's brain is basically hit with enough electricity that you can create compartmentalization in the human psyche, or splinter personalities to then program one of the individual personalities that's fractured off from the main personality in order to hide from the trauma. This is a psychological defense mechanism of the brain that's built into the brain in situations of great trauma. The brain will actually create an altar, it's called, that the active mind can hide in while the subconscious goes and inhabits the part that's experiencing the torture. So at the subconscious level, you'll still, you know, at some place be able to know that that event happened to you, but it won't actually surface in the conscious mind. Because if it did, you would continuously go back to it, relive it, and experience the same emotions and possible physiological reactions that you did while you were in it, and that would basically break down the body. You know, it would be extremely stressful, and the body would become ill. So this is a well-known psychological defense mechanism that is inherent to the human brain. And one of the ways that they actually get this to happen unnaturally is through electronic torture. And again, if you want to read about that, I definitely recommend the book Transformation of America by Kathy O'Brien. Speaking of the name Set, though, again, this is the dark sun god in Egypt, and he was the opponent of Horus, who was the light sun god, and he conquers Horus at the end of the day when the sun goes to the western horizon, and again, that's why they call it a sunset. So this was considered, you know, he was considered a god of darkness and of mischief as well. But there's another ancient Egyptian god that was considered the god of darkness and chaos as well. And it, this connects back with something you just talked about, that these drills that did this, performance enhancement, right? What were they called again?
Pep.
This brought to mind immediately the name Apep or Apep in Egyptian. Okay, Apep, if you look up this ancient Egyptian god, is the god of darkness and chaos. Okay, so their unit is called the APEP, actually, a P-E-P, right? And it stands for Performance Enhancement Patrol?
Performance Enhancement Platoon, yeah, exactly.
Platoon, okay.
That's creepy, and just so the listeners know, Mark and I have never had a conversation about this off-air ever before, so this is not something that we planned. This is really, that's creepy.
Told me what the name was, the anagram was, P-E-P, that's the first thing I immediately thought of. Was Apep in the Egyptian pantheon of gods. So, don't take my word for it. Look up Apep and you'll
they
find...
They used it to instill fear. And when I say instill fear, I can honestly tell people, boot camp pushes you to your extremes, your limits, and it either makes you or breaks you. I've seen grown men break and come to the point of tears. I myself... was pushed to my edge, and I experienced, from one side of the spectrum to the other while I was there, and I can definitely say that there were experiences that I had that definitely still impact me to this day, and the way that, nothing, I wouldn't say anything for the bad, because I understand about mind control and everything, but it did make me, I think, a little tougher than I was when I went in. And I was already a pretty tough, young guy when I went into the military and I went into boot camp, but it definitely changed me. And I know guys that did never came back. You know, they never came back to the person that they were beforehand. And you can see it's like a complete shift in personality. And it's a little creepy when you think about it, and you think about, again, with the PEP platoon, it was, it's really, I don't want to say weird, but it's interesting that you say how it was chaos and darkness, because that's what you felt coming off of this platoon. Whenever they had their own drill instructors that ran it, and the guys that ran it were the biggest dicks on the planet. I mean, if you breathed in the wrong direction, they would, didn't matter if you weren't in their little platoon, they would come running up on you, and they'd be like, "I'll make sure you get in my platoon. I'll drag you." But I mean, we had to have, there were a couple times where our drill instructors, who were, they were hardcore. They had to tell these guys to back off. And one of my drill instructors was, he was a former Marine, and then he joined the Coast Guard when his 4 years with the Marine Corps was up. And this guy literally had a chest up to one of the other drill instructors in this squad. And it was like, I noticed that there were, while we were there, the 8 week period I was there, I saw two, we had picked up their rotating shift of when they rotate a bunch of drill instructors out. I guess they realized that it was such a level of trauma that you couldn't keep people in there for too long a period of time. So they would only keep them in there for like 3 or 4 months, and they would put them back into a regular, in charge of a regular company of like 100 people. The problem is once they came out of this pep squad, from being the drill instructor for it, they were as equally screwed up as the people that they had in it. So they were never the same either.
Right.
And I think they knew that they had to rotate these guys out, because if they left them in there for too long, these guys would have gone off the deep end. And I watched, a quick example, Mark, I watched one of these guys that he was in charge of the pep platoon, and they rotated him out. And he was just a little, he was one of these, I guess you'd say he was probably a sociopath. He was one of these, he had a Napoleon complex. He was like 5'4". 120 pounds, and he had like, I have to be a dick to the whole world complex.
Right.
And he made an entire company of about 95 people march in place, and doing double time, meaning faster than just, left, right. You have to do it double that fast. So it's left, right, left, right, right, right. And they made like 95 people do this for, it was almost 3 hours, and like 80% of them passed out from exhaustion, because he made them do it in full gear. They turned the air conditioning inside the building off, inside the barracks, and they made him do it in the main hallway upstairs. So when they closed all the doors and everything, it was like a sweat box. And there were literally puddles of sweat on the floor, and people were passing out.
It's a form of trauma-based mind control.
And they didn't get in trouble. They had one kid. The kid had a problem with looking, drill instructors in the eye. You know how you're taught as a kid, don't look, or look people in the eye when you talk
right.
to them? They teach you the exact opposite. In boot camp, they teach you, do not look the drill instructor in the eye.
Right, because he's a form of God. He's higher than you in the hierarchy, and therefore you're not on any kind of equal terms with him as a human being.
They tell you that. That's exactly what they say to you in boot camp. They say, I am God, you little pukes. You are nothing. You are dog shit. They do not care. And they literally break you down, and they tell you their whole goal, this is where I was going with this and what got me, sidetracked on this, but their whole goal, they tell you, in a nutshell, is to break you down so they can build you back up.
Right.
Into what they want.
Which is an automaton.
Exactly. And like you said, these elites, they call them their dogs, hence the term dog tags, and all the symbology, all the other stuff that they have,
sure.
Because they're willing to do it to their own kind. And they call us the dead, I believe, correct?
The general term for people who have no idea of their dark agenda, and who have never looked into any of their ideologies, never have looked into any of their symbolism, can't read their symbolism, don't know what plan they have for them, which is basically eugenics and ultimately extermination. They call the average person who basically doesn't read books, and who doesn't pay attention to what's going on around them, and, sits in their house basically, with the pattern of wake up, go to work, come home, eat, watch TV, go to sleep, and then repeat the same pattern over and over and over again. They call people like that the dead. The dead. Because they consider that they're not really intelligent, they're completely apathetic, and they'll just continue to do the same thing over and over again, and not care that, our rights are being taken away, not care that there's total social inequality and injustice in the world. And they won't take any action. So somebody who is ignorant, apathetic, and lazy, and cowardly, in their mind, isn't alive. Because those are the qualities that really make you alive and human. You have the ability to use your mind, you have the ability to care about something, and then you have the ability to act on something. And they consider that the people of the world are basically not doing any of these three things, and they're not using them in any kind of higher capacity. Okay? All they know is what they're told through the idiot box or in the yellow journalist newspapers. All they care about is their own little individual life, their own little individual situation, or the people, the few people that they surround themselves with on a daily basis, even if they care about that. And they basically don't do anything except the things that are required to procure enough money to put shelter around them, food on their table, and if there's any left over after that, maybe to have some form of entertainment or sexual escapade, and that's about the end of the extent that they act on anything. So therefore, if these three components of consciousness aren't activated, the occult rulers consider those people not alive, literally dead spiritually. And therefore, their rationale is, we're not doing this to real living people. We're doing this to people who are already robots. And therefore, you know, we can't really be held accountable because these are just dead clumps of flesh, dead clumps of matter. They're not really human beings. That is literally how they think of this. I'm not paraphrasing or, you know, putting my spin on this. I'm telling you, that is exactly how they think of the average person. And I've, you know, heard this from them.
And when you were involved in this, that's why I wanted to, you know, you're like the perfect person because you have, from an insider, you know, a former insider's view, you understand better than anybody could. And I want to stress the point that it's not like gothic kids that are doing this.
Oh,
this
no.
is doctors, lawyers, police chiefs, you know, people that you would assume to be, you know.
Every profession.
Yeah, pretty much every profession.
Judges, okay? I saw judges, doctors, lawyers, teachers. You name the profession. People in healthcare, doctors. You name it, they are involved. Because they're trying to groom people in position that are already in positions of power to do their agenda. The more uncaring and unfeeling they see that someone is, that's who they try to groom. And what I want to get you to understand is the psychological profile that they're trying to work up. Before we move on to more about the rituals, and I want to go through their calendar, and I want to talk about where some of the really even more dark and insane rituals take place and some of the work that people can look into and people that some of the researchers that people can look into to learn more about this. I'd like to, if I may, go over some of the things that the information that they procure from you when you become involved with one of these groups. So I have an application that I actually filled out when I was younger to become a member of the Church of Satan. And I'd like to show you what the profiling that they do even at an early stage. But then when you get around some of these individuals, there's more extensive profiling. They want to know where they can move you, what area they can move you into. Okay? It's like dealing with somebody who's getting involved in the mob. The mob wants to know how much they can trust you. The mob wants to know what you'd be willing to do, how far you would be willing to go for them. And eventually they're going to get you involved in a crime so that they have something on you. Now, that did not happen with me. Okay? I backed out of this, what I would consider, at a very early time where they were still attempting to assess whether I could be groomed because I was psychopathic enough to be taken up into their higher confidence, and I'm sure some test would have been offered that I would have had to perform and pass to their satisfaction before that would have even been considered. But again, I developed a conscience by recognizing how this hierarchy was actually working, how it was manipulating people, and how it was attempting to groom people through this psychological filtration system, you could say, to identify the most psychopathic among them. And when I realized that these were people already in positions of power, they were already in law enforcement, they were already in law, they were already in finance, bankers, etc., okay, I realized that this was not just some club of people who were interested in philosophical ideas or ideological positions or ritual trappings or, you know, the exploration of magic and occult ideas. These were people who were actively involved in shaping the world. These are social engineers at the highest levels. You know, that's what this is all about. This is about changing the world into the thing that they want it to be and ensuring that ways of being in the world are perpetuated and other ways of being in the world are not made possible. That's what this was all about. When I realized that, I said, I can't continue to maintain involvement in this. I was still basically infected with their mindset to a large extent. I would say it took me probably 8 years of my life to crawl out of that mindset to get to what I understand now, which is a tragedy because maybe that awakening would have happened even sooner for me had I not gone down this path. But in retrospect, I would say it's actually almost a blessing in disguise that I did go down this path because it gave me an insight into what is really going on in the higher echelons of power. So check out this psychological profiling that they're doing, even for just very beginning membership, okay? And tell me if you've ever filled out anything that's this extensive, all right? Now, they have the basic details, you know, your name, address, phone number, email address, sex, date of birth, place of birth, height, weight, color of eyes, color of hair, marital status, name, birthday, and birthplaces of spouse if married, number of children and ages of children, previous religious affiliations or offices, nationality, ethnic background, citizenship, educational background, educational degrees, present occupation, special interests, talents, or abilities, hobbies or collections, right? And then asking you whether you're interested in participating in special interest groups within the organization, asking you if you're interested in participating in contact with other local active members. That was a key for me because they will put you in touch with other people who run grottos in your area. And that was where my level of involvement began and ended. Interested in serving as a contact point or media representative in your area. I also did this. I did many interviews and wrote pieces for different zines, you know, and I was involved in music back then, so I wrote, you know, on Satanism for different small magazines and fanzines back then. But that's the first page. The second page is just a list of questions that you have to give response to in essay form on separate paper that you enclose with the application. So it's like these are all essay questions that you need to answer for them so they can get into your mindset. Now here's the questions on page 2, which again, you don't write your answers on that page. You actually enclose, you know, multiple sheets of paper with your answers written on them or typed on them in response to these questions. So what were your impressions of LaVey's book, The Satanic Bible? And again, this is a book of ideologies on Satanism. By the way, if you're interested in seeing some of these documents and all of the books on the satanic philosophy, ideology, are listed on my website. If you go to my website, whatonearthishappening.com, and you go to the podcasts page, which all my radio shows are archived there, on show number 71, I did an entire show about the worldview and ideology of the ruling elite, quote-unquote elite. And this show is about their religion. It's about what they call the left-hand path, Satanism and dark Luciferianism. And then I put a ton of links to all different PDF documents and books where you can get a feel from their own writings what their mindset is all about. So that's whatonearthishappening.com, the podcast section, and go to podcast number 71. But let me go back to the questionnaire that is a psychological profiling system. Number two was, what do you expect to accomplish through your membership in this group? Three, if you were granted three wishes, what would they be? Four, what is your what is your attitude toward animals? And if you have pets, describe them. What is your ideal animal? Five, are you satisfied with your sex life? Describe your ideal of a physically attractive sex partner. Six, what is your life's goal and what steps have you taken to attain it? Seven, do you find any of our tenets objectionable? If so, which ones and why? Eight, how many years would you like to live? Nine, what are your musical tastes? Provide examples. 10, cite four motion pictures you consider your favorites and why. 11, what are your food preferences? 12, cite four books you consider your favorites and why. 13, if you own an automobile, describe it. What is your ideal automobile? 14, as a child, what were your favorite pastimes? What was your disposition as a child? 15, which country other than the one in which you now reside would you prefer being a resident? 16, in what type of dwelling do you live? Describe your ideal home. 17, describe your political philosophy. 18, what is your personal definition of magic? 19, do you feel oppressed or persecuted in any way? If so, explain. 20, are you self-sufficient or are you most productive in a group? 21, do you make friends easily if you choose? 22, what is more important to you, self-satisfaction or approval from others? 23, would you rather influence or be influenced? 24, do you feel you have leadership capabilities? 25, do you consider yourself a good judge of character? 26, in what other organizations, do you hold membership? 27, have you possessed or used illegal drugs? Or ever been convicted of a crime? If so, explain in full. 28, describe significant experience in your life bordering on what you would consider the paranormal or demonic. 29, what forms of entertainment do you prefer? 30, tell one of your favorite jokes. 31, have you ever served in the armed forces? If so, provide pertinent data. 32, how long did it take you to join this group? 33, do you smoke? If so, to what extent? 34, have you accomplished anything important or significant? If so, what is it? 35, which parent do you admire most and why? 36, do you drink alcohol? If so, to what extent? State your preferences. 37, do you have any tangible services or resources which you would care to contribute? 38, are you free to travel and to what extent? 39, give your personal definition of Satan. 40, provide your signature attesting to the above and enclose a photograph. Now, that's about as extensive of prying into one's personal mindset, preferences, likes, dislikes, and ideologies as anything I could possibly imagine. Have you ever seen any kind of extensive profiling in any application?
Not like that. I mean, I've seen it, but that is, the military is like that. When you go to fill out an application to join the military, they do an FBI background check on you, and it's got to be 15 or 20 pages. At least the one I filled out was like 15 or 20 pages of crap you had to fill out and provide all this information. They wanted you to go back on your employment history for like 10 years. The VA wanted me to do that kind of stuff, too. And I was like, are you insane? What do you need to know about my employment history before I was in the military? I was like, I'll give you starting with military and then since then. But that's all you're going to get. You're not getting anything else. But I have seen extensive stuff. But, I mean, for a group like that, like an organization that you would, you know, you'd kind of word of mouth, you know, got introduced to and then joined no, and that goes to show you that they are just like any other intelligence agency, controlled by the very same people. I mean, intelligence agencies came about from these kind of groups. You know, that's where this stuff stemmed from hundreds of years ago. So
absolutely.
It wouldn't surprise me that they do the same kind of profiling. I mean, that's where the CIA and the NSA and all those guys learn that stuff from.
And when you understand that the people who are involved in these groups, again, are not your average dabbler in the occult. They are people who are obsessed with worldly power, and they are already infiltrated into just about every institution on the face of the earth, not just in the United States, but worldwide. Satanism is much more widespread than anyone would have you believe. And I'm not trying to get people to be paranoid here or instill fear. I'm telling you, this is the ruling mindset of the world. It's not just the ruling religion, it's the ruling mindset. Most people in the world, when you tell them about what's going on in any kind of a larger global sense, about injustices or about inequities or about suffering of other people, their basic response is, I don't want to hear about it, I don't care, as long as I'm comfortable and okay. And that is Satanism. That's Satanism, ladies and gentlemen. See, we have this completely erroneous notion that Satanism is like, you know, boiling up little children in pots and eating them. I'm not telling you that high-level, sick, demented, psychopathic, demon-possessed individuals aren't engaging in activity like that on the planet. But that's not what the ideological foundation of Satanism is. The ideological foundation of Satanism is, I don't care about anybody except myself. In a nutshell, that's it. If that's your basic ideology, you are a Satanist. And in a wider sense, most people have subscribed to a softer form of Satanism. It's as long as I have my job, as long as I have my family, a roof over my head, and food on my table, I don't care about anything else that goes on in any kind of a wider sense around me or with any other people who are suffering at maybe the hands of our country or at the hands of higher-ups in our cities or in our state government or in our federal government. So it's saying, I'm not going to get involved in attempting to alleviate any suffering as long as in the moment I'm not actively being subject to too much suffering myself. As long as I have some creature comforts in place, I'm not going to lift a finger to do anything. I'm not even going to learn about this stuff. I'm going to remain willfully ignorant about it and just keep my head down and go along to get along. That is a softer form of Satanism because it is based on purely self-interest and on self-preservation alone. There is no conscience involved to do the right thing or even to learn things that we need to understand about what's really going on in the world. So when you look at it that way, 95% or greater of the human population are Satanists and have been led down the road to living a satanic ideology, a way of being in the world that subscribes to their basic tenets of self-preservation and moral relativism. And, you know, again, people can say that that's harsh and judgmental all they want, but that's my assessment of the situation, is that most people, in their core essence, live this ideology. That's why they call Satan the Lord of this world, because it's all about only caring about the self. That's how Satan, the force, okay, I don't believe in Satan as an entity. I think it's a force that's active in the universe, and it's the force that attempts to close down consciousness, to stop consciousness from awakening. And you could get into, well, where did that force come from? Maybe we're not meant to understand that, or maybe we never will, not in human form anyway. Maybe we will, who knows? But that force exists. In ancient Hebrew, it's referred to as Shatan, okay? So Shatan simply means the adversary or the opposer. This is the force that tears us apart internally, such that we don't ever unite our actions with our thoughts and our emotions. So we might know something is right to do, or maybe we know something is wrong to do, And we, you know, might even care about a specific situation to an extent, but we're going to, because something would inconvenience us or hassle us or make life in the moment a little bit more challenging or difficult, or maybe even make us suffer, make us experience pain, we're not going to actually do something that we know to be right, or we're not actually going to stop doing something that we know to be wrong. That one's even more important. Because so many, I keep telling people, the New World Order is going to be created, the Dark New World Order is going to be created by people continuing to do things that ultimately, deep down in their psyche and deep down in their heart, and they do have the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. It's not ever killed completely within a person, unless they've been put under extraordinary trauma-based mind control. I mean the real form of hard trauma-based mind control. Okay? That form of knowing the difference between right and wrong within, to intuit it at a fundamental level, is present within everybody. The dark society that we're heading toward really rapidly is going to be built and completed if people don't stop doing things that they know deep down in their soul they don't have a right to do. It's all about the embrace of the negative, in the sense that it's not about what we need to do, it's about what we need to stop doing. We need to stop waging wars of imperialism. And that is only going to happen when individuals make the decision that they're not going to support an agenda to go into other countries when those countries have not actually attacked us, not based on what they think they're doing or think somebody told them that they're going to do in some future time. Okay? It also means stop the violation of other people's rights here at home. Just because you've been told you're allowed to do that, because some law's been written down in man's law books, even though this action completely goes against natural law, because it's actually arresting someone from engaging in their natural law rights, stopping them from doing an activity that they have every right to do. And this is what the police are doing on a day-to-day basis, just because they receive a paycheck to do it. Ultimately, that's the symbol of their god. In Satanism, the symbol that represents the dark god is money itself. Money is the symbol that represents the thing that gets people to go along with this dark force that keeps consciousness down, that keeps consciousness low, that keeps people from ever recognizing the true self, that keeps people ever truly consciously recognizing the real differences between right and wrong. That's always accomplished through the occult power of money. You know, in Stalinist Russia, and then, you know, into all the way really up to the collapse of the Soviet Union, these individuals who propagated the totalitarian regime of communism would have continued to do it indefinitely. They never, ever woke up from their trance and realized what they're doing is wrong. Do you think the Nazis of Germany ever would have actually woken up and realized what they were doing was wrong? They would have kept doing it indefinitely until someone stopped them. The same thing could be said of the Soviet regime. These people would have continued to do this. The only reason that they actually ever came out of that condition is because the money flow that kept that machine going dried up. And they stopped identifying with the job because the job was no longer providing them the only thing they wanted as a result for doing those immoral actions, money. And I would submit to the people listening to this now who say, well, what's the way that we get people out of this mindset? I have dark news for you. I don't believe that there is any way of getting people out of that mindset with any amount of information, because these people have willfully made a decision to turn against their conscience and to turn against the true God of creation and to turn against moral right. They are not interested in moral right. They don't want to know the difference between right and wrong. They want moral license, which doesn't exist, to turn their back on the truth. That license does not exist. They want moral license not to exercise their own true free will. They want moral license not to exercise true personal responsibility. They want to hand their mind over to someone else who tells them what to do. And this is true of not just some of the people who are in military and police. And I'm not under the mind control that other people are, that no blanket statements are true. There are blanket statements, 100%, bar none, statements that are true. And the statement that is true, that is a blanket statement here, is not one person who goes into one of these institutions, okay, is a true individual. Every one of them, in some form or another, wants to hand over their individuality to the hive collective mind, or they wouldn't be there. They wouldn't be doing it. They would not ever join that position. They would not ever go into that. It's not for a job. There's tons of other jobs that you can go and do and look into. And I don't care how bad the economy is. Ultimately, they identify with authority. They think that there is such a thing in this world as the authority of man. They've bought into this ideology, okay, that there's a hierarchy, and it's based in authority that these people have, and they're allowed to do these things, even if it violates natural law, even if it violates the rights of the individual. It was written down. It says so in a book someplace. They're allowed to do that. So I'm not really doing anything that's wrong. You know, I've been given license and permission to do this because it's written down someplace in a book, scribbled down on some paper someplace, and it's called a law book. Ultimately, not one of these people, zero, until they take that uniform off, until they stop identifying with the hive collective mind, are ever really born as an individual. And again, that psychologically stems from wanting to abdicate personal responsibility and free will to another person who they think can make a more informed decision than them because they want license not to think. That's the bottom line. And I'm telling you right now, that is also a satanic position. And not from the perspective of the higher level Satanists in the hierarchy. They actually want to be masters. Okay? But they're the foot soldiers of this satanic army. Because the whole satanic army is about puppets on strings all the way down. And there's only one puppet master at the top. And that's not even in human form. That's a force.